Hey, everybody, it's time for the Film Pigs podcast, the podcast where three middle-aged white guys slowly leaving middle age talk about movies aimed at 14-year-olds.
I'm depressed now.
Sorry.
We're leaving middle age? What's next?
I don't know.
The grave.
I am your host this episode, Todd Anderson, and I'm here with my fellow film pig, Steve Falk.
I'm a film pig.
Film pig. And my other film pig, Steve Skelton.
Who I am a film pig who is apparently leaving middle age to the oblivion of death.
Well, there's like a whole bunch of stuff in between middle age and death these days.
I hope so.
I mean, I feel like there is. So don't be too sad. Hey, you know, we should start the show like we always do with a segment we call Movie News. That's right. This is the segment where our intrepid reporters of Hollywood tell us what's up in the movies right now. Steve Skelton, what's your news?
My movie news is the new Zack Snyder zombie movie, Army of the Dead, that has finished, that is in post-production right now, will undergo reshoots as Tig Notaro replaces Chris D'Elia. She's stepping in for D'Elia because following his sexual misconduct accusations that he's been accused of several improprieties, also apparently involving possibly some underage girls and such. Mm. So they're doing a Christopher Plummer, Kevin Spacey switcheroo. They're going to be doing reshoots and like digitally inserting Tig Notaro into the zombie movie, and apparently that they think that's going to work okay.
All right. Wow. That's
weirdly they're also making Michelle Williams do the reshoots for $1 a day,
just like they did. right.
On that movie.
And she's not even involved, but they're still making her do it.
I hope someone goes back and replaces Brian Callen with Tig Notaro in Death Valley, the TV show. Because it's sad that I won't be able to go back and watch that again without feeling gross.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. Because him, too. Also accusations. Yeah, so.
Who could have ever guessed those two guys were a little scummy?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Real out of left field there.
Speaking of out of left field, my movie news is about a union called SAG-AFTRA, and they've completely changed their health plan, forcing a lot of actors off of the health insurance in the midst of a pandemic. Now, according to a source of mine who attended a webinar hosted by the health plan trustees, former union president Richard Mazur, you know, the guy with the messed up dogs and the thing, said, "If anyone ever told you that this plan would be here forever, that was a mistake."
What?
That was a direct quote. And Barry Gordon said that the problem was the American healthcare system and the trustees were merely responding to a huge societal problem. So, in other words, it's not our fault. It's not our fault.
Yeah.
And now shitloads of people are losing their healthcare. Actors.
Yeah, it's really...
Yeah, that's a shitstorm.
It's a bad, bad situation, you guys.
Yeah. Well, that was a bunch of bad news. Sorry about that. Steve, Falk, what do you got?
I also have a union story, and that's that somehow the union that covers newscasters changed their rules, and now the host just gets to do their news before the other guy, apparently, this week. It's just like... All the rules are gone out the window.
It's
guest host.
Yeah, there's no more hosts. Don't have to be courteous anymore. Now, it's really alarming.
That's the news out of my union.
So sorry about that.
I don't think Todd cares. No, I do have a piece of movie news. I'm just joking. I don't care. my piece of movie news is this, you guys. Are you buckle in, please? David Arquette claims responsibility for Courtney Cox's infamous Scream 3 bangs. Quote,
what?
The bangs were my fault. I have to admit, I was like, oh, you should do a like Betty Page thing, you know, just like a little. That was my fault. Totally. I take responsibility. And they didn't really do Betty Page kind of really blunt bangs. Like, that was the idea. They tried to mess with them. You can't. You have to go fully in. You can't, like, halfway, those kind of things. And I'll tell you this, guys. The reason my crack chamber reporters chose this news for today, because it is exactly as important as all the other movie news out today, from how Jake Johnson feels about his Jurassic 3 character, to Bloodshot coming back in theaters to finish its run, even though it's been on VOD for months now, to the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles remake starring Will Smith and Kevin Hart. It's exactly the same amount of importance as all of that fucking news.
Wait, who's Jurassic Park character?
Jake Johnson.
Which one's Jake Johnson?
Yeah, who's his character?
Remember him and Lauren Lapkus were like...
In Jurassic World. Yeah, the nerds, and he's crushing on her. And then they made sort
of... You missed the point of my news, Skelton.
I'm a big Jurassic Park fan.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
Moi too.
That's the movie news. Sorry I went out of order. I got excited. But we should move on to another segment, don't you think?
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First they're guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV.
That music means it's time for our theme discussion. And because there's a movie coming out on August 28th called Bill and Ted Face the Music, I thought we'd talk about long gestating sequels. Just to be clear, we're not talking about reboots or reimaginings or remakes or whatever that last Ghostbusters movie is. We're talking about direct sequels. Now, all the movies we're about to run down are direct sequels to a franchise that came at least 10 years after the last installment.
Or not a franchise, a singular movie.
Or a single movie. And, you know, the second one making it a franchise.
But a direct sequel, not your reboots.
Right. And the reason why I said Ghostbusters is some people consider that a sequel. Some people consider it a reboot or a new origin story or whatever. But it's not really a direct sequel with the original characters sort of deal. So, and I would say, and please jump in if you guys have any thoughts about any of these titles I'm bringing up. But I would say in general, a few of these things were pleasant surprises, but in general, most of them were kind of head scratchers, I would say. And I was sort of looking at the history of the long gestating sequel, and it feels like it really kind of started up in the 80s. I think because the 80s was the first decade where studios started getting really franchise happy, especially with slasher films like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street stuff. So in 1983, we saw a sequel to Psycho called Psycho 2, starring Anthony Perkins with Meg Tilly as the wayward woman wandering in from out of town. In this one, she
befriends... Wayward woman wandering. Nice alliteration. Yeah,
from out of town. So and that sort of is the first one that I could find. So it seems like this weird thing started in the 80s, but it doesn't happen too often. But in 83, you got Psycho 2 and you got The Sting 2, which came 10 years after the original, The Sting. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. My mom actually took me to see that in the theater, so I remember it. But it's got Jackie Gleason and Terry Garr and singer Mac Davis. Psycho 2 did all right at the theaters, but Sting 2 was gone so quick and quickly forgotten. Then the next one, and this is kind of cool, as far as one of the good movies goes, in 1986, Scorsese got Paul Newman and Tom Cruise together.
Oh, yeah, Color of Money.
Which was a sequel to The Hustler, which starred Paul Newman. The critics loved that, and it did well at the box office, probably because of Tom Cruise and Paul Newman. But the critics liked it, and it was good. Did you guys like that show?
I did. I saw it many times in the theater. I like all the you know, when you add long green felt tables with a lot of quick camera dollies, as balls are being broken and racked. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
And Color Money, that was also kind of, that was, you know, a semi-big deal at the time, too, kind of like as a really, here's your unexpected sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me, it wasn't, I was excited to see it before I even realized it was a sequel. So it was one of those kind of sneaky, long-gestating sequels.
Well, I'm trying to remember the marketing. Like, I don't remember the marketing being heavy on it being a sequel.
No, they didn't really talk about The Hustler. It just looked cool because here's Paul Newman and Tom Cruise playing pool. And Tom
was
Cruise...
Was Gleason dead by then?
By Color of Money?
Probably, right? Sure.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Huh.
I mean, or maybe he was. But I mean, like I said, he was in The Sting too 3 years earlier. So, yeah. And I feel like when was Nothing in Common? Maybe he had just passed away.
I feel like Nothing in Common was late 80s. It isn't Color of Money early 90s?
Color of Money is 86.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like... when Tom Cruise was just becoming a gigantic star.
Right, right.
Anyway, that was a good one. And then the next one I ran across was Tobe Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Right.
Which was a really gory, over-the-top movie. A lot of black humor in it, but critics hated it. Didn't do well at the theater. But, you know, the VHS market at the time, that was part of the reason that a lot of these horror movies got made. So it found a cult following on VHS tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
How many years after the original was that one?
You know, I didn't write down the math, but it was, I think, 12 years difference, if I recall. I wrote that right there, 12 years later. But I didn't write down the years. Sorry.
That's math. You did the math.
I did the math and I didn't write the years down.
You didn't show your work.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't show my work. I apologize.
That's okay.
Then in the 1990s, it's kind of when it gets really, really weird. Okay?
Can I name one? Can I name my favorite one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Another Stakeout.
Yeah,
was that 10 years?
It wasn't. That didn't gestate long enough to make.
Oh, really?
List.
I thought it was more than 10 years.
No, not quite. Oh. Not quite. The ones that I have from the 90s, you got Jack Nicholson coming back to a sequel to Chinatown 16 years
after
the original.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
called
God.
The Two Jakes.
Which he directed, though.
Yeah, he directed it, too, yeah.
Yeah, and it had the original screenwriter of Chinatown.
Robert Towne.
Exactly. Did you guys ever see that?
I did, in the theater.
Yeah?
I did not enjoy it.
I don't remember it. I know I've seen it, but I just don't remember it.
I know I must have seen it when I was working at a video store, but I'm sure it bored me to tears.
But I gotta say I'm not one of those people who is a devotee of Chinatown itself.
Oh, you don't love Chinatown?
I don't really care for it.
I think it's all right. You know.
Yeah, it's all right, but it is kind of like, you know, I would rather watch a proper period noir over Chinatown.
It's one of those Perry Mason.
Yeah, it's
or
it's,
yeah or the new Perry Mason. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Then 19 years after The Last Picture Show, Peter Bogdanovich made a sequel called Texas Film.
Texas.
Oh my God.
Which he shot in color rather than black and white to mix things up, I guess.
It's also shot like a TV movie versus like the...
Yeah, yeah, it was. It didn't do well either. And then in addition to that, in the 90s, we of course have Francis Ford Coppola's Godfather 3.
Oh boy!
Which gave us his daughter's acting, which was 16 years after Godfather 2. Were you guys excited for Godfather 3, or when it was coming out, you were like, no?
There was so much bad press about the recasting of that role of his daughter in that role when I can't remember who specifically fell out.
I think it was Winona Ryder.
Oh, was that okay? That strikes a bell. There was already so much bad press about that I was very, very worried already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little soured on it too because of the press, and that was like, and that's kind of like the first movie I remember being like excoriated in the press before it even released.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of what I would remember, like maybe an Ishtar or something like that. But I was a little, I wasn't paying as much attention then.
Yeah,
I think it. Well, yeah, I guess they were reporting, but they weren't reporting on how much money things cost, because Ishtar was sort of like
fact. It was just the Ishtar about, I think was more about the money, but the Godfather was specifically about the casting. Weird casting stuff. Yeah,
of his non-actress daughter. Yeah, in, yeah, it's such a pivotal role.
Yeah, well, and Jack Nicholson wasn't done with the long gestating sequels in the 90s. By the way, he did another one along with Shirley MacLaine called The Evening Star.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a sequel to Terms of Endearment. And they did not bring What's-Her-Face back from the dead for
The Terms of Endearment cinematic universe. Now I remember, yeah.
You don't get a lot of long gestating drama sequels. That's like straight drama.
Yeah, that's true. It's a weird choice. But, I mean, I guess you have that with Texasville as well. Because that was a drama. It's weird.
I guess.
Then another one, which I, you know, is a kind of a mediocre movie, but it's hard to hate it because of the guys. And I like those grumpy old men movies. And Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau made The Odd Couple 2 in the 90s. Because the grumpy old men franchise was doing so well. They're like, oh, let's also bring back this movie, I guess.
I do not remember the existence of that movie.
I don't either.
Yeah, it was there. But it bombed because it wasn't Grumpy Old Man, I guess.
Right.
Did Neil Simon write it?
That's a solid question. I don't.
In his declining years?
I'm gonna guess yes.
I'm gonna guess yes as well.
Probably. And then the decade rounded out in 1999 with these long gestating sequels with one of the worst things I've ever seen. Like, really. The Blues Brothers 2000.
I had blanked that out.
Like, nobody was really asking for that, but also, like, I could have had fun with a Blues Brothers movie, even though John Belushi's dead. Okay, I could have gone. But what they did with it, what Aykroyd wrote, was just bananas. It just made no sense. It was like a 12-year-old kid was just given a green light to do whatever he wanted. It was really odd.
Okay, Neil Simon did write Odd Couple 2.
There you go.
Confirmed.
Did you guys ever see that, Blues Brothers 2000?
Yeah. But like I said, I had burned it from memory until you just brought it up now. Thank you.
I honestly don't remember if I've seen it. I think the first one is so precious to me. I don't think I went back to that well.
It's probably a good idea, but you did not get to see the Bluesmobile driving underwater.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's somehow a submarine. And then after that, in the early aughts, we get into the first one in the early aughts was Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, which brought Crocodile Dundee's brand of fish out of water and homosexual panic humor to a new city, Los Angeles.
Don't forget the mild racism.
You can. I mean, that's the brand. Yeah.
That's the stuff. That's the stuff of it. And after that punch in the mouth came 2004's Clerks 2.
Ew.
I didn't see it because I didn't like Clerks.
I don't think I saw it too. Am I wrong? Was there a Mallrats 2 too?
I think there was only one Mallrats, but I don't know. I mean, there's been another Clerks.
Kevin Smith is not one to shy away from dipping back into his own IP.
Yeah, he does love to do that.
Mallrats 2.
And yeah, there
1995.
It was less than 10 years between Mallrats.
That was the first one. Mallrats 2 trailer 2020. So I think it's coming out.
So it's just under 10. It's like, what, 8 years?
Kevin, here in April, Kevin Smith says coronavirus will be part of Mallrats 2.
Oh, boy.
Mallrats. So I guess it's going to be filmed. It was 1995, so 25 years.
Oh, okay. So that's going to
that'll count.
Qualify.
Anyway, yeah.
2006 brought two of these kind of sequels, one of which we saw and drunkenly reviewed on YouTube, called Rocky Balboa.
Balboa, yes.
Which was not very good. We walked out of it, as I recall.
Stumbled. Yeah. Stumbled out of it.
That's
too much popcorn, that's all.
Too much popcorn. And that same year, a movie we probably should have gone to see and review was Basic Instinct 2. But we,
oh, I forgot they did a Basic Instinct.
Wait, that really?
Was Sharon Stone in that one, too?
Yeah, Sharon Stone was in that one. But it wasn't Verhoeven and it wasn't Michael Douglas. 2006.
Wow, I don't remember that existence either.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, it doesn't hold up to the original's quality. These next two make sense to me just because they're part of action franchises, beloved action franchises from the 80s, okay, and they both have been brought back again and again on DVD and Blu-ray and, you know, remasters and all that.
With new formats.
New formats.
There's a market for them.
Yeah, yeah. So which kept them in people's minds, I guess. But 2007, we have a movie that I believe Falk and I saw together called Live Free or Die Hard.
Right.
The PG-13 Die Hard. Where, and then...
Is that the one with the elephant?
I can't remember. I remember Justin Long was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like a nerd. But there was that, and then in 2008 we got Rambo, which we definitely all saw together.
Yeah, because he killed everyone in Burma in that one.
Yeah, pink mist.
Yeah. By standing in the back of a truck with a machine gun welded to it.
Falk said that after the movie, we walked out, he said, I look like a 12-year-old child just so happy on the edge of my seat with all the intense violence that was happening.
Yeah, you loved every minute. That was adorable. It was adorable.
And that was pretty much it for the first 10 years of this century so far. And now we've got what we've got in the last 10 years. I don't know why Disney, I guess they made rides. Is that why Disney wants Tron to still be a thing?
No, I don't think there's ever been a Tron ride that I can think of.
I think there is one in Japan or something, but you know they're rebooting it again. But
I don't know why, because it's like Tron Legacy. I don't think it bombed, but it didn't do great.
It was sort of like the first one. It did okay business.
Yeah,
you know, but it wasn't.
I mean, it gave us that awesome Daft Punk soundtrack, so it's totally worth it.
Yeah, no. It's cool looking.
And it also is like, and you know, like what we've been talking about, a really, like, what's really bizarre about Tron Legacy is not so much that Disney wanted to bring the IP back. That actually makes sense because they own it, and they want to mine their IP and don't want to have to pay out to anybody else for something new. And Tron is a high concept sci-fi fantasy, so there is an audience for that, for kids and adults. So if you can crack it, it makes sense to try it again. But what didn't make sense at all was, for some reason, not rebooting the whole thing, you know, with a full modern sensibility. They somehow got talked into doing a direct sequel, probably because Jeff Bridges got involved and was like, yeah, I'll do it. That sounds like fun. And that's how it got greenlit. And Bruce Boxleitner was like, hey, my schedule's open. I'd love to be in a Tron movie. And Cindy Morgan was like, me too. And they were like, get out of here, Cindy.
Cindy Morgan.
Which I'm still mad about, because she should have been in that too. But But yeah, so, and who was that? Was it Kaczynski? Was that the director, Joseph Kaczynski? I think so, yeah. Directed it. And the original, it had kind of a pretty standard kind of script plot. Wasn't particularly great, but had great visuals and really engaging visuals and eye candy, and then that amazing soundtrack, which I still listen to this day all the time.
Which one, the Daft Punk one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to it all the time.
Yeah, it's great. It's great music to drive
to.
I
don't know why they decided to, and this was in the early days of the de-aging CGI too. So you had this really creepy looking young Jeff Bridges in the flashback sequences. Yeah. Where his face doesn't quite move right, so he kind of looks like he's a monster in a skin suit.
He looks like the end of Starman, when he's like, alien dying.
Which is, and it's like, and when you're in the computer, when he's the bad guy in the computer, it works fine. Because he can look weird, and because you're in the computer, but it's the real life stuff, where it's like, real uncanny valley where they're like, you guys needed to let this bake a few more years before you tried it.
Yeah. So that same year that Tron Legacy came out, 2010, we saw another movie that I don't know. This one's a real mystery to me, so maybe you can explain it, either its concept or its title to me. Wall Street 2 Money Never Sleeps.
Oh my God.
With Todd. Michael Douglas and Shia LaBeouf.
Todd.
Yeah.
Human beings.
Mm-hmm.
In order to recharge their brain and stay healthy, they need to sleep.
but
money, currency, cash, be it actual paper or gold or just, you know, Bitcoin or electronic forms of tender, they're not human. So they don't need to sleep.
So they don't, but they don't, then they're not awake either.
It's not just that they don't need to. They never do.
How?
You explain the title, I guess.
I don't see the confusion.
But why, what was, who, why did they greenlight that? Why did they think Wall Street Money Never Sleeps would be something that people wanted to see?
The greed is good. It's explained in the first movie. They were sitting around going, should we mine this old title? I mean, what is it? I mean, we don't want, it's bad to kind of fuck up your art. And they're going, but
on yeah, the but other, it was Wall Street, so
on the
let's
good
do it.
Side, greed. Oh, okay.
What are the odds that there's at least half a dozen spec scripts out there right now? For a third Wall Street movie that centers around Bitcoin.
Yeah, sure. Money's in the computer. Money's in the wires.
It's the working title.
Money.
Wall Street, Money's in the Computer.
So in the last number of years, we've seen a few good ones, I would say, in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh.
Love Fury Road.
The Incredibles 2 was pretty good.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, really
good. God, that was 10 years?
Yeah, it was 11 years in between, I guess.
From the first one, holy smokes.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love both the Incredibles movies. They're great.
And Trainspotting 2 I liked. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, I never saw it.
I liked it okay. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Then there was some more mediocre ones that I don't hate, some of them I didn't watch because I'm not gonna, like Bridget Jones's Baby, but
Never Sleeps,
Best Man's Holiday, Jurassic World.
Wait, Finding, Best Man's what? Best Man's who?
Best Man's Holiday.
Yes.
Sequel to The Best Man. And then there was Finding Dory, Barbershop.
I like Dory.
Yeah, it was okay. Barbershop, The Next Cut, Blade Runner 2049,
Ugh.
Super Troopers 2.
Blade Runner 2049 or whatever it is the most gorgeous, boring movie I've ever seen.
Yes, it's very pretty. I mean, all of these movies aren't great, but maybe they have some things in them that are okay. Super Troopers 2, which I didn't hate. I enjoyed it, but I'm, you know, it's a mediocre thing. But that was like a cult movie on video.
Yeah, and they like
forever.
Crowdfunded that one, didn't they?
Yeah, that's how they kind of do everything, I think.
Yeah.
And then there was Bad Boys for Life, which came out earlier this year.
Oh yeah, and I like Bad Boys for Life. Now, so that was that 10 years after Bad Boys 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's way after.
I didn't like Bad Boys 2, but I like Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah, it was definitely better. And then I would say the really bad ones are XXX, The Return of Xander. What's his last name? I didn't write it down. Shit. The Return of Xander Cage. That's his name.
I think it's Cage, yeah.
Yeah. Which I
oh, my God. I can't remember if I saw that.
I know I've seen it twice, and I have no recollection of it.
you guys saw it, because that's the point. You're not supposed to remember if you saw it or not. If you can't remember if you saw it or not, you saw it. If you know you never saw it, you didn't see it.
Exactly. These last two are, like, just the worst. Independence Day Resurgence. Oh,
I never watched that. Is it terrible?
It's
really just dull.
Yeah, it's so dull and just, it's bland and gray. It's just, you know, it's not colorful. It's just a bad movie. It's just rotten. Yeah. And everybody's tired. It's just everybody seems tired. I think everybody like signed on to it and then Will Smith backed out, and then everybody was sad.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of ended up crippling it too. No Will Smith. And so
I didn't
like,
know
oh,
he wasn't in it. Honestly.
Yeah, now what do we do? Because it's already hard enough to try and kind of recapture what made Independence Day work in the first place.
Yeah.
And then when like one of the two guys who made it work in the first place goes, I'm out. You might as well have just gone, all right, yeah, we'll try again in 10 years.
Right, exactly. And the other one that I really, really didn't like was Dumb and Dumber 2, spelled T-O.
Oh, yeah, that didn't really...
I didn't even bother going, and I loved the first one so much. It just seemed, there was an expiration date, which is probably one of your questions, but yeah, I'll save it.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm reaching the end of this. Those are like the last couple of titles I had. So, you know, we can discuss. But I know the simple answer is always, like you say, it's greed, it's money. They want to make money off of property they already have, you know, IP or whatever that they already have. But some of these, like, you know, like I was trying to exemplify with Wall Street 2, it still doesn't really compute in my head how they thought that these things would make money. Like, why did they think the Sting 2 was a good idea? Let's put this random singer guy in a movie with Jackie Gleason that is a sequel to a movie with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And it's just bizarre.
I wonder in some of these cases, like Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. I'm wondering if like that, without looking, you know, without bothering to look at IMDb to see, you know, who produced it, but if, you know, on the production side or on the studio side, if that type of movie happened because it was the last gasp of, you know, an older executive that, you know, was kind of hadn't had any hits in a while, and, you know, at least had some connections to try and, you know, get like an old movie that they remembered being part of and successful at.
That's probably pretty likely, not executive but producer, right?
Yeah.
That a aging producer who's on his fourth deal at four different studios and hasn't had a real big hit in 20 years would find a hot young writer, convince them to work up a take for free, and then go into the studio and go, look, we have Oliver Stone, we have Shia LaBeouf, we have whoever, Wall Street 2 is going to mint money. Yeah, and they get fooled by that. I think, yeah, it's probably driven by slightly aging, desperate producers. But I think there's there's certain, I mean, money is never taken away from the equation. Obviously, it's part of all of these arguments, but another factor for any IP bid is what is that there is the fact that nobody knows anything, the fact that this industry is 100% there's a new dice roll every time you're put, there's no formula, you know, whatsoever, except for very few things like Bond movies or Marvel movies. Like, you're gonna mint money off of them. In general, there is no safety net. So what you start doing is looking for any safety net you can, and that could be a piece of talent, that could be a director, but often it can be a story that people remember and want to see a follow-up for. But it can also, and this is the case of many foreign adaptations or less than blockbuster novel adaptations, it's not that everyone remembers this small Hungarian movie that hit 4 years ago. That's not necessarily going to buy you more than maybe $75,000 in the box office from, you know, some gray hairs in Pasadena and some nerds at film schools. But what it does is buy them one more thing they can market the movie on. But more importantly, it's just a piece of safety net saying, no matter how thin, this worked. This story worked in one form before. It can work again.
Yeah.
There was an audience for this. Yes, it was in a novel. And yeah, it wasn't a huge hit. But the critics liked it. And Reese Witherspoon bought it. And so let's see. That makes you feel better than a great spec script you read that has no IP, because executives and producers are often very, very scared to judge something or sell something purely on their own taste.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That probably goes a long way to, because I think that in the 90s, especially that first part of the 90s where there were all these sequels to dramas, you know, a sequel to Chinatown, a sequel to The Last Picture Show, sequel to Godfather 3, in terms of endearment, it feels like it was all these old, you know, established filmmaker guys doing these sequels to their old movies. And it feels like they were kind of getting long in the tooth and needed something to do to grab those glory days back.
I can explain that one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think you're onto it. So it's there was the you know, the cinema died in the 60s, the studio movies, and so they movies turned back into an auteur form, right? So they let the rebels have the control of the cameras to make all the great fucking bananas 70s movies, and then the 80s cycled back to a bunch of corporate bullshit. Those guys were sidelined, or at least making sort of failure after failure to capture the market. And then the 90s came around, right? Movies are a pretty 20-year cyclical thing. And yeah, they were getting into their 60s. And the executives were now kids who grew up on those movies, you know, setting them at USC, at the Stern producing program. And we're like, yeah, fucking Coppola's walking into my office and pitching me something? Hell yeah, I'm going to do it. So it's a combo of those guys wanting their last gasp and executives being of the right age to basically write those guys a blank check.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, do you guys have any other thoughts, or should we move on?
What can you think of? Oh, you forgot to mention one other of these movies that's coming out, well, probably next year, but was supposed to be this year.
What? Oh, right. Yeah, Top Gun 2, yes. There's a bunch.
Top Gun, Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah, I forgot that was supposed to come out this year. Yeah, and there's obviously other ones down the pike. Matrix 4, that's going to be more than 10 years.
A thing.
And Avatar is going to be more than 10 years at this point.
So. Oh, boy.
So, they're coming. But, you know, I'm just kind of excited about Bill and Ted Face the Music. I don't even know why. I don't know why.
I am supremely not excited.
Are you? You're not into the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, it could turn out to just be tired and sad, but I'm curious to see it because Alex Winter seems like such a cool guy.
Yeah, and Bill Sadler's back as Death, so I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, should we take a trip over to the courthouse?
Oh, boy.
That very scary official sounding music means it's time to go to the courtroom to put a movie professional on trial for crimes against cinema to see if we'll send this person to movie jail, which is the Robert De Niro maximum security penitentiary that has many, 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 many facilities for torturing bad filmmakers.
Court is now in session. All rise for the Right Honorable Justice Todd Anderson. This is all a Zoom thing, because we're sequestering at home because of the pandemic. So I can tell no one has pants on, so please be seated. Stephen Falk, I believe, has got a case to present to you, Your Honor.
Your Honor.
Yes, Prosecutor Falk.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt means well. I truly believe he does. Child actors usually do. From the age of 7, he's been working steadily, including the Emmy-winning 30 Rock from the Sun, where he got noticed as an alien sleeper agent in a teen body. But it was 2005's Brick that marked his transition to an adult actor, even though he was playing a high schooler again. He's worked steadily in film since then, scoring a giant hit in the non-linear twee rom-com 500 Days of Summer. He grabbed some cash with the G.I. Joe movie Rise of Cobra, then scored yet another huge hit, merging his previous indie sensibilities with the brainy blockbuster that was Inception. From then he made Cancer Calm 50-50, The Dark Knight Rises, the fun bicycle B-flick Premium Rush, and Looper, playing a young Bruce Willis minus the Seagram's cooler and the harmonica. But then, as he continued to focus on other things like singing and dancing on SNL and hit record a website or an art collective I have seen mentioned thousands of times in the last 10 years, but literally know nothing about because nothing has come from it of any meaning. Since then, it might be that he comes across too eager or too scrawny to be an action hero and not sexy enough to be a romantic lead or not dangerous enough to be a bad guy. He might just be the Adrian Brody of his generation in this way. Or he makes terrible, terrible choices. Mm. He was in Lincoln, but then he made his own directorial debut, the fucking weird and horny Don Juan. He played Hardboiled in Sin City 2, another sequel that came way too late. Had an accent in The Walk, which was about a tightrope walker that was a much better documentary recently before that. Made the very bad Oliver Stone movie Snowden about a traitor. And then took a few years for nothing happening. And then came 2020, and he's in two streaming movies. The Close Quarters Airplane movie, 7500 for Amazon, and now, as of this past weekend, Project Power opposite future defendant Jamie Foxx for Netflix.
Full disclosure to the court, I have seen this movie.
I have seen both of these movies, Your Honor. And you did. I hope you did catch that I said future defendant Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. So I didn't.
This is a bad run following such a promising reinvention of a sitcom kid into a legitimate movie star. Your Honor, whether it's the capricious nature of the industry, his and his agent's own failure in positioning him correctly, or a terrible radar for scripts, Joseph Gordon-Levitt needs to be punished for his good and for ours. I'm not sure which one. But he needs a good period of quiet time with no website to focus on to realize there can only be one Jake Gyllenhaal. And the real Jake Gyllenhaal is far more interesting than Joseph Gordon-Levitt. it'll give him time, hopefully, to realize that and to ultimately pick a new lane. I rest my case.
So, you make a good case. You know, it's funny, when you first started, I was like, I like a lot of these movies. But yeah, you're right. He's really kind of gone off the rails in the last number of years. I think the sentence you might be suggesting is house arrest with no access, with books and a radio and no internet access. No internet and no 24-hour news or anything like that. Yeah, that's a good deal. I hope you're okay with it, prosecutor. But basically, you could take it or Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, nice. Your Honor, may I say one thing, Your Honor, before I go?
Sure, yeah.
This is the first case I've ever argued while behind the judge a cat licks its own asshole.
Oh, yeah, that's Burroughs.
It's a first in jurisprudence.
That cat is sure burrowing into his own asshole. Your Honor.
Yeah. What?
Oh, I just got scared. I have to run and get a beer. That's so scary.
Okay, go get a beer. Wow, what freaked him out?
Do you guys hear that?
Well, it scared Falk.
There. That was
what?
There it is again.
I think that's probably your neighbor has allergies.
Oh my gosh. Every time.
That's that damn Nick Cage again, doing a bizarre line reading, because it's time for the Nick Cage Nick Cage Memorial Bizarre Line Reading. I really need to get some more sleep tonight. I did not sleep last night. So, this is a line reading from a movie. It doesn't have to be Nick Cage, but it's got to be in the spirit of a crazy, batshit Nick Cage line reading. A lot of which you can find in the current The Color Out of Space and Mandy and Mom and Dad. Skeleton?
Yeah.
What is the line reading for this episode?
Ooh, you guys, this episode's line reading is by Ewan McGregor, and it's from Birds of Prey and The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. In this movie, he plays the crime boss Roman Sionis, otherwise known as Black Mask. In the clip, he's having a meeting with his henchman Victor, played with equal scenery chewing fun by Chris Messina. This meeting takes place in McGregor's living room, a space decorated with dozens of mask-based artifacts. As they talk, Journey Smollett's Black Canary arrives, and McGregor gives her a tour of his collection.
The Spangrid soldiers capitulated.
Capitulated? Of course they did. I told you that Keo scene would send a message.
Sure did, boss. Sure fucking did. Crossbow killer. Struck again last night. Rossi and four of his guys.
People don't kill people I own without my permission. Well, why doesn't this crossbow guy know that? You know that.
I know it.
Why doesn't this crossbow... Why don't I own the crossbow guy?
You should own it.
I mean, I like crossbows. Oh, good morning, good morning.
Morning.
Come in. We're just finishing up a little business. Look around.
You're late.
Yeah, it's fine.
Should she come back another time because she's late?
No. Isn't it stunning? That is a Chakwi mask. I got it when I was embedded with the Ngami tribe in Congo, Kinshasa. Have you ever been?
I've never been. Mm. I've heard it's beautiful.
It's dirty.
Oh.
Here, look at this. Genuine Sansa, or Shrunken Head. Char of Ecuador. They're amazing people. Surprisingly gentle. I think you might like them.
Really?
Mm. They boil the heads of their enemies, and they make these little fellas exquisite, aren't they? Look.
Mm-hmm. Look at those little ears. His little haircut.
Yeah, he's 1,000 years old, and now he's just an ornament in my living room. Ooh, I love it.
I liked that movie.
I enjoyed that movie a lot. And McGregor's a really—he's got a really fun performance.
It's on it's on HBO now, I think.
I think it is now. Yeah, I think it's
all right.
It's
yeah, it's fun. Have you not seen it, Falk?
No, I bet it can't get worse than Project Power, which I watched this past weekend. So
yeah,
I'm
anything. Project Power is no good. The Birds of Prey, it's a little long, it's a little convoluted, which I think is probably what hurt it a bit at the box office. But they're fun performances throughout the whole thing, and all the fight scenes are really good.
Nice,
sweet. Hey, do you guys want to play? Do you guys like to play?
I love playing.
I don't want to play.
Well, you gotta, because it's time to play a game. And the name of this game is Name That Gestating Character Actor. It's very, very simple. What I'm going to do is tell you the name of a character actor from a movie. And it's going to be one of the movies that has been mentioned so far in this podcast. I will give you the name of the actor, and you tell me the name of the movie that actor is in. It's that simple. If you know it, you get a point. If you don't, you don't get a point. You'll each get, I think I've got an even amount. I think it's 15 per, and then a tiebreaker if it's necessary.
Okay.
And because it doesn't really matter who goes first, we'll just go alphabetical order. I'm going to start.
Wait, question is one of them Burroughs the asshole eating cat?
No, he's Burroughs, never been in a long gestating sequel.
Okay.
Stephen Falk, your first name is Bill Moseley. What long gestating sequel did he appear in?
Bill Moseley's an actor.
Bill Moseley is an actor. He's actually a pretty famous actor in a particular genre. Bill Moseley.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with actor names, but I do not recognize this fella's name. So I'm going to take a stab. I'm going to say the Texas Chainsaw remake.
Good.
Second sequel.
Good stab. That is correct.
Ooh.
Nice.
Well done. Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Your first actor is J.O. Sanders. What long gestating sequel did J.O. Sanders appear in?
Okay, I know J.O. Sanders, and we're talking about one of the sequels that we've already talked about earlier.
Correct.
J.O. Sanders, because all I can think of is Day After Tomorrow right now.
That's all I can think about when I hear his name too. This is a hard one, I think.
J.O. Sanders, long gestating sequel. I'm gonna say. Shit, I don't know.
It is The Odd Couple 2.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, sorry. So no point there. Steve Falk, back to you.
Wait, I just want to say, I know most people know this, but J.O. Sanders is probably one of our best actors alive.
He's great.
FYI.
I love J.O. Sanders.
I love J.O. Sanders. What's not to love?
Not enough to know he was an Odd Couple too, but whatever.
Did you know?
God damn it.
Steve Falk, your actor is Joe Morton. What long gestating sequel did he appear in?
Oh, Joe Morton, are you playing a general, Joe Morton? In what might you be playing a military fella of some sort? Independence Day sequel.
No, incorrect. It is Blues Brothers 2000.
Ah.
Blues Brothers,
and you've never seen...
God.
You've never seen a man look so sad to be in a movie. He doesn't appear to understand what's happening to him at any moment. Skelton.
Yeah.
My ass-licking cat wants to get out. Hang on one sec.
Yeah, no, let's put everything on hold for the ass-licking cat.
Yeah, no, by all means.
Yeah. Sorry about that. He would have started screaming at me. Okay.
I'm done licking my asshole. Let me out of here.
I miss Joe Morton. It's Skelton's turn.
Okay, Steve Skelton. Your actor is Paul Rodriguez.
Paul Rodriguez.
Yes. Ooh, I know this one.
he does.
Wait a second. Paul Rodriguez, long gestating sequel. More than 10 years.
I want glory points. I want to say it before you say it.
If you can't come up with it.
I can't. No, I'm blanking. I got nothing.
Crocodile right. Dundee in Los Angeles?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That is correct, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Falk.
Yeah.
Hugh Dancy. Hannibal's Hugh Dancy.
You know, I'm not aware of Hugh Dancy, except I just watched the Very English Story or something, Hugh Grant Amazon thing. Very English Scandal.
Yeah.
Which is really good, and he's great. So it's got to be... Oh, you know what? I'm going to guess the Bridget Jones thripple.
I would say that's a good guess. Unfortunately, it's wrong. It Fuck. Is Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, for
cool.
All right. Early in his career, I guess.
I guess.
Skelton.
Yeah.
David Keith. Not to be confused with Keith
with
David.
Keith David.
David Keith.
David Keith. Man, this is really... I'm drawing
it
blanks
is one,
on
it
everything.
It is one of the movies that has been mentioned, so...
No, I know that, but I'm trying to remember all the movies that were mentioned. David Keith.
Yeah, this is not easy at all.
No, I don't know. I got nothing.
Is The Two Jakes. Falk. Frank Langella. What long gestating sequel was Frank Langella in?
Frank Langella. I really do not know. I'm going to guess. I mean, it's probably like the Blade Runner, which I never finished, or Tron. But I'm going to guess like one of the earlier ones. I'm going to guess Evening Star.
No, Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps.
Yeah. I bet he was a patriarch with a lot of, like, very, very smooth words for the youngster. A lot of quote-unquote guidance, wink, wink, from the money crew.
Skelton.
Yeah.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, that's got to be Rocky Balboa.
That is correct. And he also played Rocky's son in what was the next one? Creed? Didn't he show up in Creed?
I think he did show up in Creed as kind of a cameo.
He's like working at an office building and Rocky wants to make up with him or whatever. Steve Falk.
Yeah.
You've got B.D. Wong. B.D. Wong.
B.D. Wong, ageless. Character actor B.D. Wong, star of stage and screen, both big and small.
He was on Oz, one of my favorites.
Oh shit, I think I know this one.
I'm guessing he's a nefarious lab technician.
I hate those kind of lab technicians.
You know, one of those nefarious lab technician fellas.
I hate it when they get nefarious, them guys.
I'm going to guess B.D. Wong popped up in The Blade Runner 2046.
That is incorrect. You want a glory point, Skelton?
Is it Jurassic World?
That is correct. Reprising his role from Jurassic Park.
Right, because in the first one, he was one of the lab nerds.
That's what I said. God damn it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to get it. Yeah.
Steve Skelton, your actor is Timothy Olyphant.
Okay, now you're throwing me for a loop because I asked a question about this earlier.
And he ignored
you. So I
gotta
guess, I gotta say it's Live Free or Die Hard.
That is correct. And,
okay, so that's why you wouldn't. That's why you were skirting my question.
You skirted it.
Yes, I skirted it like an asshole.
like an asshole eating cat.
Falk, your actor is Dennis Franz. What late gestating sequel did Dennis Franz show up in?
Oh, boy.
TV's Sipowicz?
TV's Sipowicz. A man who paved the way for my own personal naked ass to be on television.
Trailblazer.
The butt heard around the world. I mean, I'm guessing he was a sergeant of some sort yelling that someone's too close to this case.
Yeah, exactly.
And another stakeout wasn't part of this, as you said.
No.
Man. Oh boy.
Are any movies repeated?
No, I have not repeated any movies. Okay. And I honestly tried to do a good job of giving you each a couple that I thought you would know, because I know this is hard.
Yeah.
And I tried to even it out.
I'm gonna take a random stab, say Color of Money.
No, he was in Psycho 2. He was the cop obsessed with taking down the psycho named Norman Bates.
I think
psycho
we all assumed killer. He was playing a cop in whichever movie it was.
Sipowitz. Okay.
Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Joe Mantegna. What late gestating sequel did Joe Mantegna appear in?
Godfather 3.
Wow, that's a good pull. There you go, Godfather 3.
Wow.
Falk, your actor is Jeff Anderson.
Is that Lawnmower Man?
No, that's
Jeff Fahey.
Jeff Fahey. Jeff Anderson's right. Like a comedian guy.
Jeff Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you kind of have to imagine me looking at a cast list and deciding, well, there's the leads and then there's the supporting cast.
Yeah. Hubba hoibo. I don't have a guess. I don't know.
Clerks 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Skelton.
Yeah.
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen. Okay.
What
long gestating sequel, Michael Sheen. And I can't remember
Michael Sheen.
Which movies we've already said.
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen, Michael Sheen, Michael Sheen. Long gestating sequel. Ah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to dial back a little bit and go, oh, damn it, Tron Legacy.
There you go. You found it. Falk.
Yeah.
Marion Ross. Mrs. Cunningham.
No, I know who Marion Ross is.
Marion Ross.
Did you already say Odd Couple 2? Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Sanders, isn't
that? Yeah, J.O. Sanders.
That was the J.O. Sanders joint.
It's what cost me my membership in the J.O. Sanders fan club.
Let's see, we did Psycho 2.
I love the idea that you get kicked out of a fan club for not knowing a small amount of trivia about your guy. It's a
ruthless club.
It's like Fight Club. Marion Ross of Happy Days. What's up, Miss C?
This may be crazy. Was she in Texasville?
Oh, that was so close. But no, she was in the Evening Star. The
Fuck.
Evening Star.
Oh.
That was a good guess, though. Skelton.
Cock.
Yes.
Nia Long.
Fuck Marion Ross.
Nia Long. I worked with Marion Ross. She was very nice.
Nia Long. This is a gimme.
Nia Long.
I know this one.
Well, you can have glory points if Skelton can't work it out.
Yeah, wait. Oh.
Come on.
What the fuck?
Stop berating me.
It's poor sportsmanship.
Am I? You're being a poor sport.
You're so stupid.
Damn it, I can't. No, I honestly can't think of it now. And now you're stressing me out.
Okay, so you want the
answer? Yeah, I can't think of it.
It's the Best Man sequel.
It's the Best Man holiday. Falk is right.
I just said it.
Score breaks. Skelton's got 4, Falk has got 1. Glory points, not.
But I got 2 glory points.
Yeah, we don't count those, though. Steve Falk.
Should.
You've got actress Julie Benz. Actress Julie Benz.
Rambo.
That is correct.
Yep.
Who we went to college with. Actress Julie Benz. Steve Skelton.
Yes.
You have actress Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. Okay.
We did not go to college with her.
We did not.
No.
But I did see her father in concert twice.
Okay, so Zoe Kravitz, long gestating
sequel. That guy has a hog on him, huh?
What the ding dong is it?
He does. Wears those tight pants.
Zoe Kravitz.
I liked her High Fidelity remake.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that. I heard it was good.
I liked it. It was surprisingly lovely.
I can't think of what it is.
It is a Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, damn it. That's right. She was one of the,
Furiosa's girls.
Furiosa girls. Damn it.
Dipshit. Exactly. Steve.
Fucking so stupid. It's Steve. Embarrassing to lose to someone so stupid.
I guess that means you're stupider.
Sometimes you lose to stupider.
Guys. Steve Falk. Yeah. Vivica A. Fox. What long gestating sequel did Vivica A. Fox appear in?
I'm going to say, I don't remember the title, but the barbershop movie of recent.
That is incorrect.
I know what it is.
Okay, glory point.
Independence Day, was it Resurgence?
Yes. She was reprising her role from the original.
Who's stupid now?
I didn't know. If they couldn't get Will Smith, I didn't think they'd have a reason to bring back Vivica A. Fox.
Well, that's stupid.
So, Steve Skelton. Yeah. Andrea Martin. The great Canadian actress Andrea Martin.
No, she's a delight. I love Andrea Martin.
She's a national treasure of a different country.
Yeah. What in the
She's a dual citizen now.
Is the long gestating sequel that she was in? damn it. I can't think of what it is. I don't even have a guess.
It's My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I don't remember you mentioning that one.
Yeah. We didn't mention that at all.
Oh, sorry. I thought I did.
I don't think so.
Shit. Well, that's my fault. Sorry, Skelton. You lost to my mistake. Steve Falk.
Bullshit.
I'm sorry. Steve Falk. I have it written down. I must have just rolled over it. Christine Taylor. Oh, I rolled over this one too, so you're even.
Okay, wait, Christine can I still guess?
Yeah.
I don't think the Brady movies were that long between Zoolander.
Yeah, Zoolander
2. Zoolander 2.
Yeah, that's two. Correct. Yes. And I didn't even mention that one.
You didn't even mention it.
That worked out. That worked out in my favor.
I know who she's married to. So I figured it out.
I thought that might be what might help you. Skelton. John Turturro.
John Turturro.
Didn't mention this one
This
either.
One was definitely mentioned.
It wasn't.
What? Yes, it was.
It wasn't mentioned.
Yes, it was.
The one from this year. The movie from this year.
No. Oh. Jesus Rolls. Yeah. No, I didn't even think of that. I totally forgot
Sorry.
About that.
That's Sorry, a good that's point. What I, was th- I thought you meant. That's
yeah, so point. Jesus Rawls technically is a correct answer.
It would have been correct, yeah.
But you're looking for something else with John Turturro. So let's see that. Fuck. Now, what the hell else was he in? How many years were between some of them Transformers movies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Shit, I don't know.
The Color of Money.
Oh, damn it.
Falk.
Hey.
Cloris Leachman.
Texasville.
There you go.
That is correct. That makes you guys tied, by the way.
Four to four.
Wow.
Skelton. Jim Broadbent.
Blech.
This is Barbershop.
Damn it. Trainspotting 2?
Good guess, but...
No, it's the fucking Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones's baby.
Dipshit.
what the fuck? Stop with the bad sportsmanship.
Sorry.
I'll dock you. I will dock you.
I love Todd telling me not to have bad sportsmanship during this game.
All right, Falk.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy. Another Canadian treasure.
Yes.
What was Andrew Martin in?
Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh, which you didn't mention.
Right.
Right. And I also didn't mention Zoolander 2, because I glossed over my own notes.
Did you forget American Pie 5?
That didn't come that many years after... No. Eugene Levy.
And you already mentioned Blues Brothers,
mm-hmm.
2000.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene Levy.
I'm doubting he was in Blade Runner.
That would be kind of awesome, though.
That would have been so much better.
Oh, I'm going to guess Dumb and Dumber 2.
No.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess, but the correct answer
is
Finding
you
Dory.
You loser dumb asshole who missed the question.
Finding Dory. You two both calm down. Both have lost control of the contestants.
Who did Eugene Levy play? Do you remember?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up on IMDb again. I didn't write down the character names.
We're watching the delightful Schitt's Creek right now. And
I like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, people love that show.
It's so good.
I tried watching it and I didn't get into it, but I gotta try it again. Skelton.
Yeah.
Johnny Lee Miller.
Ooh, Johnny Lee Miller. Oh, shit. Okay, so that's Trainspotting, too.
There you go.
Put your incredulous hands down, Falk.
Hey, incredulous.
I got it.
Hey, incredulous hands. Yeah. Your actor is Cedric the Entertainer.
Barbershop.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yes. Barbershop 2, The Next Cut. If I was Doug Benson, you would have lost, because I would have needed the full title. Skelton.
Yeah.
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright, that's got to be Blade Runner 2049.
That is correct.
Damn it.
Falk. Tony Jaa. Tony Jaa. Martial arts superstar Tony Jaa.
Yeah.
Don't throw his elephant. If you throw Tony Jaa's elephant, he gets hella mad. Especially if it's a baby elephant.
Muy, muy, muy Thai mad. I'm just trying to think what lines up with this flick of what you've mentioned. With that actor, I'm sorry. But I can't. Is it a... Oh, boy. We already did Rambo.
Yeah, we did Rambo.
It's not... Is it... And we did Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, we did that.
Fudge. I give up. I don't know.
It is XXX2, or XXX, rather, yeah. The Return of Xander Cage. The third.
Which is actually XXX3.
Yes.
I wish it was The Return of Xander Berkeley.
Now that's how you revitalize that franchise.
I agree.
Skelton.
Uh-huh.
Sean William Scott.
Sean William Scott.
What was Sean William Scott in that was a long gestating sequel that was not American Pie Reunion?
Or Goon 2.
Or Goon 2, yeah. Wait, did we say Dumb and Dumber 2?
Not yet.
Oh, then Dumb and Dumber 2.
That is incorrect. It is Super Troopers 2.
Ah, for fucking Christ fuck.
You both have one left. Skelton, you're at 6. Falk, you're at 5. Steve Falk.
So if my math works out, I have to get it.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to miss it. And then we do the tiebreaker.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sad to say. Bob Odenkirk.
Not Little Women.
No. Did we mention Little Women before?
No, but it was funny that he was in that.
Babe Odenkirk of Mr. Show. and Better Call Saul.
Bob Odenkirk. And we already said money never happens, right?
Money never sleeps. Money happens a lot. It just doesn't sleep.
Wall Street. Hey, how about all that money?
Are you still happening money?
Is this money happening? Or is this money asleep? Money
never
sleeps.
Are you there, God? It's me, money.
Oh boy, I don't have a guess. I'm sorry.
The Incredibles 2.
Oh fuck! Oh. I forget about the animated ones.
So Skeleton has won this thing, but for shits and giggles, Skeleton Joe Pantoliano.
Oh, Joey Pants.
Remember when he got hit by a car recently?
He got hit by a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When?
He got the pants knocked off him.
Oh.
Jesus. When did he get hit by a car? I didn't know about that.
His Kango went flying. Yeah, he's all right.
He's all
right. Okay, so Joey Pants, what was he in? We said Color of Money, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so it's not that. Joey Pants, and he died in Matrix, so he probably won't be back for Matrix 4.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves died in Matrix 3, and he'll
be back
for
Matrix 4.
That's
true, so there's
4.
No reason Joey Pants can't come back for Matrix 4.
But I wasn't doing future movies. Only movies
that
have
already... I can't think of it. What is it?
It would be Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, damn
it. Bad Boy, which is the first time I've seen him in a long period of time. What other than Bad Boys 3 has Joey Pants done in the last number of years?
Nothing. He's like the B-list Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
They both went into hiding.
I mean, if I was that rich, I would too. God bless him. The tiebreaker for shits and giggles was Rob Riggle.
You already said Super Troopers.
So it's got to be Dumb and Dumber 2 then at that point.
That would be correct. It is Dumb and Dumber 2.
Just a process of elimination of all the times I've guessed Dumb and Dumber 2 and was wrong.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yes, Skeleton won by one. I think that if I had given the glory points, it would have been a tie. But I wasn't...
You're not stupid, Skeleton.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Glad you guys made up.
I'm sorry you interpreted me saying you're a fucking moron as a bad thing. I'm sorry you took offense to that.
The classic heartfelt Hollywood apology.
Look, I'm gonna go away now and take a few weeks just to listen. It's just I'm gonna do some listening, and I'll be back on the next Film Pigs podcast having listened and scrubbed my Twitter.
All right. Oh, those sad kids means it's time for the bottom five. This episode, my bottom five will be long gestating shit I don't want to see. Number one, Avatar 2.
Three,
number two,
four, and five.
Avatar 3. Number
You're
three, Avatar 4.
Joke.
Number four, Avatar 5. Number five, Matrix 4. Time for a moment of positivity. Actually, I only said Matrix 4 because I wasn't sure if there was an Avatar 6 slated to happen.
That was the joke of it. That was funny. And I'm gonna call Skeleton stupid once again for stepping on that joke.
Damn it.
So we don't want to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth.
No.
So here's a little moment of positivity. In a world where every government, federal, state, county, and local has failed me, and my union has kicked me off healthcare during a pandemic, it's hard to know where to put hope. So I've decided to put it all in Bill and Ted Face the Music. Which might sound insane, but look, guys, I have hope. It's hope.
I'm so glad.
That's the show.
I really hope this movie's good for your sake.
Yeah, me too. Well, if it's not, I won't be that sad because it's just going to be a VOD thing. I'm just going to look at it on my TV. It'll be fine. I would like to thank my fellow film pigs, Stephen Falk.
Hey, thanks, man.
And Stephen Skeleton.
Aw, thank you.
I have been your host, Todd Anderson. I did it in the right order that time. And as always, thank you, Adam Blau, for the incredible music. Adam Blau is amazing. And
Burroughs for
licking his asshole.
Analingus, self analingus.
He got it clean, you guys. Burroughs got it clean.
It's really, yeah. That's a.
It's been a long
OSHA,
quarantine.
OSHA compliant clean asshole.
Cats, man.
Yeah, they got nothing else to do, I guess.
No, they just lick them. They lick them.
It's right there.
Yeah. You wake up from a nap. If you could lick your own butthole when you woke up from a nap, you'd lick it.
I would not. I would absolutely not lick my own asshole.
Why not?
I might do it once.
What if you have like wipes, sani wipes? You can wipe it down first.
I'm not gonna do it.
Maybe put some honey dust down there.
You're such a prude.
I know.
Live a little, will you?
Sorry, guys.